If you were to make a loneliness playlist, what songs would you include? Yeah, there are a lot of possibilities. Probably my playlist would have to include Eleanor Rigby and the Beatles singing Look at All the Lonely People, Where Do They All Come From? And Gilbert O'Sullivan singing Alone Again, Naturally. The haunting sounds of Eric Carmen singing All By Myself, Don't Want to Live All By Myself Anymore. Well, my playlist dates me, doesn't it? But go online, search for songs on loneliness, and remind yourself of a few. But don't stay there too long. It can be kind of depressing. There's some really sad ones across basically every genre you might choose. Because loneliness is something we can all identify with. We've been there. And there's a good chance you are there right now. Well, this week on Discover the Word, the group is talking about the pain of alone. It's week one of our series called You Are Not Alone. So continue that conversation on Discover the Word next. And it is good to have you here at the table too. Discover the Word, the small group Bible study from Our Daily Bread Ministries. Mark DeHaan, Elisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day are your study partners. And they're talking about this subject of loneliness for the next couple of weeks and looking at sections of Scripture that address this, what is basically a relationship issue, isn't it? I mean, all those songs you would put in your loneliness playlist are about relationship and the pain of not having that person or those people that we feel would make life better. Feeling relationally distant, that's what loneliness is. And in this first week of conversations, Elisa is directing the conversations to identify the pain of alone and how that shows up in our lives and how it shows up in passages of Scripture. And so let's listen as the group continues to set the foundation for this series by talking about the relational aspect of what it means to feel alone.
Do you have a person? Have you heard that term before? You got a person?
Okay. Have you got a person?
Yeah, I do. I think my person's probably Evan.
Okay, then my person is Rebecca.
Okay, that was too easy. We're not taking an SAT class here, but it's the concept of who's the one that you go to, no matter what. They're always there for you. Mm. Somebody you can turn to, your person.
So it depends on what it is then. If I'm trying to think through something, I have a mentor that I go to or friends.
Okay.
If I am looking for love and affection, mm-hmm. then I go to Rebecca. If we're processing life decisions, I go to Rebecca. So there's a couple people.
I think the spiritual answer is I go to the Lord.
Oh, Bill.
But that's not the honest answer.
Yeah.
The honest answer, I think, Daniel, you're onto something. I think we have different persons mm-hmm. for different mm-hmm. moments. Mm-hmm. And probably for most of us, most of the time, our person is our spouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have a spouse.
Yeah, if you don't, that's what I was mm-hmm. going to say. Then what?
Yeah. And I think that's what we want to hit on. You can even be lonely in a marriage, for sure.
Uh-huh. You can really be lonely
in a marriage. You can super be lonely there. Yeah. So even though we may have a spouse, that spouse may not feel like our person. And Bill, you hit on it, and we'll come back to that. Of course, it is the Lord who is our person, if you will, if we're going to use it that way. But what I want to do today is we continue our conversation about the pain of alone, how real it is in our lives and how real it is in Scripture. We see it portrayed over and over. Is start with this understanding of relational loneliness. What is relational loneliness? I mean, for example, surveys show that over half of Americans experience loneliness, and 56% will say that they have a lot of relationships around them, but that doesn't mean they have a person. That doesn't mean they feel heard, understood, companioned, connected. They still mm-hmm. experience the pain of alone. And why is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out whether or not it's because we have really not disclosed to others who we are. Mm-hmm. For fear of being rejected, mm-hmm. and if maybe we put ourselves in an isolated moment.
Yeah, I think in order to have a person, there's a sense in which you have to be a person.
Yeah.
You have to take a risk, and you have to be vulnerable, and let somebody in, which therefore gives them permission to let you in. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a mutual vulnerability that makes the person thing work or not.
Mm-hmm. It requires so much discernment because you can't just go around gushing.
And you have to be wise with who you talk to.
That's right.
You're talking about the risk mm-hmm. of being a person in order to have a person. Mm-hmm. It's risky and we can be hurt and we can be disappointed.
Yeah, and since one of our default positions is self-protection, so that works against what's needed to enter into real meaningful relationship.
So good.
And neediness itself is a put-off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can right? be. Yeah. It can be.
Yeah.
Henry Cloud, a Christian psychologist, actually said that one reason we struggle with loneliness is that we've kind of swallowed a myth that we're supposed to do life alone, that that's the mature thing. Me and God, that's it. You know, I don't need people.
Yeah. Do you think that is somewhat of a cultural thing, though, right? Like a Western cultural
I think it's
phenomenon?
Especially an American thing. The pull yourself up by your bootstraps, the pioneer out by themselves, carving a trail through the wilderness.
But did they do it by themselves?
Sometimes.
I mean, the pioneers.
Yeah, some of them
Some of them did. But most of them followed as communities, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Or as families.
Yeah, and the reason I brought it up is because my wife's Cuban, and her family is very connected, deeply connected. Mm-hmm. And so there's never this isolation, really.
But does she ever feel lonely?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The reality is that in the pain of alone, there is a relational loneliness between us as human beings. And we shouldn't be surprised, but let's go to Genesis 2:18 and just read this one scripture. And we're going to provide this as kind of a grounding for ourselves on the topic of relationship. What do we read in Genesis 2:18? Daniel, do you have that?
Yeah, it says, "The Lord said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'"
Okay, let's have some context there.
So the creation story, and God has been just driving this creative force through the world. And so animals and trees and the sun, moon, and stars, the expanse, all this beauty and creativity has come. And then we're getting to this climax of creation where he makes a man. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in the story, we read the words, "And then God said, it's something's not good." Mm-hmm. Every time up to this, God has said something's good. And then he says it's not good, which should shock us when we're reading this.
And good means pleasant, agreeable, whole, the way it's supposed to be.
There's something for the first time is incomplete.
Uh-huh. Yep. Incomplete, that's good. It's a part, it's in part rather than whole.
The thing that was incomplete or not good was the fact that this human male was by himself.
And yet he had his pets.
Yeah, he did. and he had God.
Yeah, he had vertical relationship upward with God, vertical relationship downward with creation, but he didn't have a horizontal relationship of someone like himself and equal to him.
And that's really interesting to look at. It actually can be painful to look at for those who are single and are going, "Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I would like to be in a relationship, and this doesn't feel good to me." And I don't quite understand how that all works, except the reality is that Adam and Eve were in a relationship with God, and then the fall came, and that even that relationship fell and broke, and there was separation in it. And so our fallen world, I don't think we see the perfect relationship that God had intended yet.
Yeah. Isn't part of it, too, that okay, we say, yeah, he needed a wife, but there weren't a lot of other people around.
Yeah,
I mean, if there had been a bunch of other people around, it could have meant something different than he needed to get married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there may have been a time for that, of course. But.
Yeah,
that,
and you think about the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about singleness as being a gift as opposed to a terrible burden. And I think for a lot of that, it lands in the heart of the individual person.
Right.
And how they have been wired.
Right. And for all Paul's loneliness, and he had that, he still had this enormous sense of affection with both brothers and sisters, men and women in all these different communities.
That's right.
Let's pause for a minute and just take a peek at a passage from the Psalms where we see God reconciling people in relationships that have been broken. It's really important, or what we're addressing regarding how does God address our loneliness? How does he make us for community? And I'm talking about Psalm 68, just two verses, verses 5 and 6. We're going to see that God's concerned for all nations, that he is concerned to right all of the brokenness. Mm. he's concerned to put in community all those who've been separated for some reason. What do you see there, Mart?
In Psalm 68, it says that God is father to the fatherless, defender of widows, and this is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families, and he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy.
What we're seeing is that God's heart is towards connecting people who have been separated back into community.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, maybe when we hear God sets the lonely in families, maybe we need a very broad definition of families.
Yeah.
Because maybe family isn't the traditional nuclear family that we think about. Maybe family is that kind of family bonding and caring that comes through meaningful relationship, where maybe someone isn't necessarily married, but they have that kind of meaningful stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
And we also have the luxury of the New Testament, where we have the family redefined as the church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Those who are walking and following Jesus together.
If we go back to how we started this conversation and realizing that if you have a person or if you don't have a person, part of the answer to addressing the pain of alone is we take responsibility to reach out to community. God has provided ways for us to do that, a structure of family in the body of Christ. Yeah. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And then in Ephesians, he'll unpack what that looks like. And we see lots and lots of, in Hebrews, you know, don't forsake gathering together. He wants to pull us together. And so the onus in a way comes on us to, will we isolate ourselves and continue in the pain of alone relationally? Or will we open to the reality that I am a person God made to be in relationship?
Which probably means that if we just haven't found it any place, we still got to go back to him and say, God, please give me that person, those persons, and do for me what I can't do for myself.
And help me to be someone else's person that I might experience the companionship you have in mind for me.
Yeah, it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, and the same is true for us today. It might require some risk and some vulnerability, but at the end of the day, we're all looking for companionship. And that's a great word. We all need a person or people, and sometimes that starts with being a person for someone. Now, you're at the table with Mart DeHaan, Elisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day for day two of our study titled, You Are Not Alone. And whether you're tuning in on your local radio station or you're listening online at discovertheword.org, you play an essential role in these conversations. And actually, it's now easier than ever to take your seat at the table. Whether you're getting ready to start your day, whether you're driving in your car, whether you're making dinner in the kitchen, or on a bike ride getting some exercise, you can listen to Discover the Word on your smartphone or tablet by using Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Just search for Discover the Word on your favorite podcasting app, and then hit subscribe or follow to add these conversations to your daily lineup. And just a quick word also as we close today to remind you that during these uncertain times, we all have a role to play in sharing the life-changing wisdom of the Bible. And when you financially support Discover the Word, you are partnering with us in making God's Word understandable and accessible to people all around the world. You can do that by giving a one-time gift or by becoming a Discover the Word monthly partner and giving a recurring gift each month. Explore both options when you visit discovertheword.org. All right, well, in recent months, a significant portion of the world's workforce has experienced what it's like to work from home. And while some people appreciate the extra peace and quiet, in a lot of ways, we also miss all the daily interaction. Loneliness in our work has become a more common problem. And so tomorrow on Discover the Word, Mart and Elisa and Bill and Daniel will explore some instances in Scripture of vocational loneliness. Okay, I'm Brian Hedinga, and I will save you a seat at the table Wednesday here on Discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.